Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. The theme verse for the series that we have been following, the series which is called Be Still. Be Still series is what we have been meditating upon. And Psalm 46 verse 10, by now you should be able to have memorized it as well. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth, is what it says in, as part of this Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. In other languages, in Hindi it says, Chup ho jao. In Telugu it says, Ura kundumo. And that is what we have been meditating week after week. And just as a recap of what we have meditated over the past few weeks, to be still and know that I am God. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. Know and be still. How Elisha was able to tell to other people when Elijah was leaving him, know and be still. Knowingly, we should be still as well. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, as Moses has said. Stand still and consider, as it is mentioned in the book of Job. Sit still until you know, from the book of Ruth. Meditate and be still, from the book of Psalms. As we continue our series on the Be Still, for today, we are going to turn our Bibles to another book in the Bible, which is the book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 11. Maybe you have meditated on this particular book many times. Maybe you must have heard a lot of Bible studies as well. And you can note down the key verse for today, as it is being mentioned in the sermon notes as well. Nehemiah, that is the book. I don't know how many other books you know which start with the letter N. Any other book? Nahum, Numbers, good. Nahum, Nehemiah, they both are having the same root word. Nahum means comfort. Nehemiah, God is a God who comforts. Yahweh, the one who comforts. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 11. I picked it up from New King James Version as it is projected here. Please read along with me and you can fill in the blanks as we read it as well. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 11, all together please, and you can fill in the blanks that are in the sermon notes. All together please. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. As you all know, the story of the book of Nehemiah, how the first 7 chapters talks about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And from the 8th chapter, it is rebuilding the hearts of the people. Rebuilding is very essential. Revival is essential. And book of Nehemiah wonderfully talks about how God has brought forth the remnant from the captivity that they were in. That the remnant came back under the leadership of 3 different people. And now this third person, Nehemiah, now he brings forth a set of people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. From his profession, he was a governor, cupbearer. And from the aspect about the leadership, he was a man of God who was responsible in being able to lead a big congregation of people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. May I have your undivided attention to the listening of the word of God. Maybe there are many things that are happening in your mind right now. Many situations, many things that are bothering you probably. But may I ask you to just focus our attention on the word of God. It is very essential. We go through many troubles in our lives, many unknown uncertainties of our future or the things of the past that have been haunting us. But we are here in the presence of the Lord. And somebody said, when I came into the house of God, surprisingly, I was no more depressed. That's what that person said. It's so, so true that maybe you're going through so much of pain, so much of uncertainty that is happening. But let us be still, not be grieved, and focus our attention on the word of God. Chuck Swindoll tells of a time when he spoke at a family conference. He noticed a young couple with several small children. Although they looked and sounded like a Christian family, it was evident to him that they were very miserable. He knew that divorce was on the back burner of their minds. But as the week progressed, he saw that couple change as they listened to the teaching of God's word. The husband hung on every word. The wife had her Bible open and followed the messages closely. At the end of the week, this couple came to Swindoll and his wife said, "We want you to know that this week has been a 180 degree turnaround experience for us. When we came, we were ready to separate. We were going back stronger. Now we are going back stronger than we ever been in our marriage." But that joyous news was dampened by another family's response. Chuck continues. At the same conference, with the same speakers, the same truths, the same surroundings, the same schedule, another father was turned off. He wasn't open. He attended the first few sessions, but by and by, the guilt became so great and the conviction so deep that he went home. He had stayed awake the entire night before and reached the decision to leave and not come back. His family left hurting, perhaps even more than when they came. The same conference, the same message, two different stories. One that was totally changed, 180 degrees. What was the difference? Swindoll says, attitude is the difference. The couple who benefited had teachable hearts. The other man did not. Some people come to church with reverence for God and his word, saying, "God, teach me. I want to know you more." They are ready to respond to the word. They profit from the teaching. Others come to the same service with sin in their hearts that they don't want to deal with. They are turned off by the very same message that helps others to grow. The same message. It's the attitude with which you take in the word of God. If you want spiritual renewal, check your heart. It comes when responsive hearts read and reverently hear God's word faithfully proclaimed. Isn't so true, my dear? The same message. You're going to listen. But the response is in your, it's in yours. As to how you are going to respond. Either you keep it and try to keep the sin that is really bothering you and go out without responding to the word of God. Or you can be that couple who were ready to separate, but the moment they came for that conference, they left the place together, growing more in their married life. Same word of God. Different ways in which the conclusions were. These people of Israel, they had come back. They had worked so much in the first seven chapters. They have traveled all the way from the Babylonian captivity. And now they are here in Jerusalem. They have finished building the walls. They were back in their own cities. It says in the previous chapter, Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 53. When the seventh month came, the sons of Israel were in their cities. They were all dwelling in those places. Notice chapter 8 and verse 1. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. This happened. The whole walls of Jerusalem had gates as well. When you build walls, you have gates as well. What are the gates for? In order to be able to allow something, to disallow something as well. To prevent somebody to go out, to prevent somebody to come in, to allow somebody to go out, to allow somebody to come in. That is what a gate is for. There are very many gates that are mentioned. If you want to go through, you can go through the Nehemiah chapter 3 and other chapters which talks about the various gates. And there is one gate that is mentioned here in Nehemiah chapter 8. And that gate is water gate. In this country, the only incident or only reference for Watergate is a Richard Nixon story. I don't know how many of you know the history that happened during the time of Richard Nixon, the president of the United States, in the 1970s, that there was a scandal. And somehow there was a wiretapping of the tapes that happened in the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee convention that happened in the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C., not too far away from us. And there was so much that Later, they figured out that the president also was involved, and he tried to cover up many things, and that became a scandal, and finally he resigned to be the president of the United States. That's the story. If you want to learn more, you can go to history.com and other websites to know what happened with the Watergate. Watergate was a hotel complex, 5 buildings. Together, it's called Watergate. If you have never visited, you can go visit it as well. It's not too far away from here. But there is another Watergate. How did they get the name Watergate? Maybe from here, I don't know, or it was also close to water near the Potomac River. There is this water that was brought in forth from a gate into the temple, into the place where they needed water for washing. That was a gate that was used to bring in water. The Bible talks about the significance of water, my dear. Water in the Bible, it is related to the Word of God. To be able to see the washing of our lives, of our conscience with the Word of God. The Bible talks many things about that in the various books that are mentioned in the book of Ephesians and other books as well. Water symbolizes Word. And rightly so, these people gathered at the Watergate. And what was happening in verse 1? All the people, notice the word all. I love that word. Not few. Not just wife, not just husband, not just children. All the people, doesn't matter what their age was, doesn't matter what their stage was, all the people. You might think, brother, I just read it. What big deal about that word, small word, all. Come together, my dear. Come together, be together. All the people gathered as one man, united. Gathered as one man, meaning being together. Isn't it so wonderful to see that way? Families, all the members of the family coming together as one. All the families coming together as one body, as members of one body. What a wondrous thing it would be. What an experience that would be. Let me share with you, this is a particular worship service that is happening. This is, you can call it as an ideal worship service. If at all, if you want to know how a worship service was happening in the biblical times, this is one example of how a worship service was happening. First, gather together. Don't neglect the gathering. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 as well. As many are doing, do not neglect. Do not forsake the gathering of people. Many times people are thinking, with the technology that is around us, they don't need to attend church. What big deal? I have so many technologies, TV, television, or internet, or many other sources. I don't need to gather together like this. These social gatherings and all is causing me so much of trouble. I cannot bear other people in the church. How so? I won't come to the church. Many people are like that. How many people, while we are sitting here, how many people are sitting in their own homes and watching TV or doing many other things? They don't want to fellowship. Just with this one verse, we can finish the sermon by that matter. All the people gathered as one man at the square. They met in a street. They gathered together. So many people. I don't know how many people. All the people though. Doesn't matter how many. It is all the people. It is not about 5,000 people, 3,000 people. If you are a gathering of 100 people, all the 100. If you are a gathering of 50 people, all the 50. All that matters is all. It is not about the huge number or a less number. Don't try to evaluate a church by its number. But evaluate a church whether it is all the people that are gathering regularly or not. All the members of the family meeting regularly or not. It is so essential, my dear, with burden I'm asking you to be able to make sure that all the people gather together. And now when they have gathered together, there was no force of anything. You know what they were doing? They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses. They had a desire. It is not like, oh man, I have come to the church now. Somebody is going to come and preach here. Somebody is going to come and talk here. No, they requested, they had the desire to be able to have somebody read God's word for them. There were not many copies as we have now. So many copies, so only few people had copies. Scribe means the one who writes, makes copies of it. Ezra was a scribe. He was asked to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded or given to Israel. They had a desire. When they had the desire, verse 2, then Ezra the priest, Ezra the scribe, he's not only a scribe, the one who was writing down, but he's also the priest of God. A priest of God is a one who takes things unto God, who offers unto God on behalf of the people. Prophet is the one who brings from God to the people. Notice the difference. Prophet is the one who brings whatever God wants to share with the people. Priest is the one, whatever the people want to share with God, the priest takes it. That's how it was in the Old Testament. So here, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men. He was not only being able to offer unto God, but he was also reading God's word as a scribe. He had multiple responsibilities. Before the assembly of men, women, all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. If you have eyes to see, ears to hear, we better listen with understanding the word of God. It's very important. Verse 3. He read it from before the square which was in front of the water gate from early morning until midday. Meaning what? Early morning typically is considered 6 o'clock. Early morning until midday. Midday is typically 12. From 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock, he was reading God's word. Imagine the desire that they had. For us to sit for 1 hour. If it is a 2 hour service, people say, oh, 1 hour service is sufficient for us. I cannot sit in the house of God. I have many other things to take care of. I need to go buy groceries. I need to do laundry. I need to do this, that, and many other things. But notice the kind of way in which they had a desire for God's word. They were in front of this people for from early morning until midday in the presence of men and women, those who could understand. All the people were attentive to the book of the law. Attentive. Not sleeping. Not watching other things. Not texting to people. But being attentive to the word of God. Nowadays we are so much into multitasking that we keep hearing the word of God and keep texting and doing many other things. But what does it say here in verse 3? All the people again. Notice the word all. Verse 1, all the people gathered. Verse 3, all the people were attentive to the book of the law. When I was reading it, I was really challenged by this. All the people were attentive to the word of God. So the first thing that you and I should be able to understand, I'll just skip a few slides here and get into the main portion. The first thing you can note it down, read. Reading God's word or being attentive to God's word. W is for word. Read and word, you can note it down. Easy to remember as we keep moving one bubble after the bubble. Read, word. They were reading the word of God. As he was reading the word of God, they were attentive. They had the desire. They asked Ezra to read God's word. The desire that they have at the water gate. Next time you think about the water gate, remember the word of God. That is so essential. So what did he do? Verse 4. Please read verse 4. We can stop there, brother. A few names on the right hand and a few names on the left hand. Thank you. Verse 4. Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium. You know why we have podiums like this? Pulpit, they say in some translations. This was all happening in the Old Testament days. There was a wooden plank that was put, probably the word of God with so much of ways in which the scrolls were. We don't know how the parchments were of the law of the Lord. They had to be put somewhere. They put it on a wooden podium, something like this. And he stood at the wooden pulpit or the podium which they had made for the purpose. There is a purpose for everything that they do. The word of God was put on a wooden plank or a podium where he was reading. Verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Again, all the people. The word of God doesn't just put for the sake of putting it, my dear. Everywhere, the all the people is repeatedly used. In verse 5, he opened the book in the sight of all the people. Everybody were watching. For he was standing above all the people, probably a stage like this, where there was a wooden platform. He was standing and reading God's word, and all the people, in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. All the people stood up. Stood up for what? They did not stand because Ezra was standing. They were not standing because they were told to stand. At least it's not mentioned. All the people stood up. Again, notice the word all the people. When we ask us to be able to spend some time in worshiping the Lord, we ask you to stand up. Why? It is reverence towards God. Reverence. The second one that you want to note it down in the bubble. Revere or reverence. Not only read God's word, but to revere God's word. Reverence meaning not talking about the titles that are given to various people like reverend, etc. Being showing the respect that is due to the word of God. Sometimes we don't even want to stand for some time. Why? Because maybe we have some ailment, we understand that. But here it says, all the people stood up. In verse 6, please see what I'm reading here, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered. What did they answer? Amen. Amen. While lifting up their hands. There's nothing wrong in lifting up your hands unto the Lord. When they were doing it, they were saying, Amen, Amen. While lifting up their hands, they bowed low and worshiped the Lord. I'm imagining how the scene would look like. How Ezra was holding the word of God on that wooden podium. And he was reading God's word. As he was reading God's word, he was blessing the Lord, not his own or his own personal glory, but he was glorifying God. The God who has given the commandments. The God who told that how important it is to be able to obey his word. As he was reading God's word, there was worship. Who was first worshiping? Ezra himself. He was blessing the Lord. Please read in any other language. Verse 6. Nehemiah 8, 6. Yes, they were the way in which they were doing is, this is called praise and worship, my dear. Many times we tend to use the word praise and worship interchangeably. But the word praise is where you use your mouth. A lot of people try to praise people by their words. Praising is using your mouth in order to be able to say something. Amen, amen is what they were saying. And then worship is action, is attitude. How you are doing it. The word, Greek word for worship is proskuneo, meaning prostrate, be under, you know, totally falling down. That is what worship is. We think worship is using words. Individual worship means using words. It's much more than that, my dear. It is the attitude and the action with which they were worshiping God. And what were they doing? They were not only using words, but also in action, in their attitude, they were humbling themselves. They lifted up their hands. They bowed low. Imagine the way in which they must have been doing. They lifted up their hands, bowed low, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Such is the kind of worship. That was a worship service that they were having. What a wonderful worship service that would have been. They read from the word of God. As they were reading the word of God, Ezra blessed the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The way in which I don't know what all words he was using, but he was blessing the Lord, the great God. What a great God we have. He must have been telling how wonderful he has created this universe. Book of Genesis. How wonderfully he brought our forefathers from the land of Egypt. He is a great God. With his outstretched arm, he saved them from the bondage of slavery in the land of Egypt. What a wondrous way he must be blessing the Lord, great God. I love the way in which he used the word great God. As he was exhorting the people about that great God, what did people do? They immediately responded saying, Amen, Amen. Amen means truly, truly, verily, verily, Amen. It is so true. I too agree with that truth that God is a great God. To be able to, that is why we give opportunity to you also to open your mouth aloud in the congregation to worship God. As they were doing it, verse 7, he talks about another set of people, the Levites in verse 7. I'm not going to read all those names in verse 7. The Levites, it says towards the middle of the verse. The Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. Explanation of the word of God. We just don't read God's word. We explain or we make the people understand the word of God. If in a particular congregation there is worship, if the word of God is not explained the way it should, people are going to leave the place hungry. A church service should not only have worship, but also the word that is explained in such a manner that people can understand it and go out of the place having understood the word of God. My dear, what we see here is they were explaining the word of God. I don't know how it was. Maybe there were lots of people. Maybe they have divided it into small groups and they had a discussion or explaining the word of God, interpreting the word of God. I don't know how they were doing it. It is not explained, so we cannot speculate specifically. But in verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God. In my translation, it uses the word translating. In some other translations, it uses the word explaining to give sense so that they understood the reading. We need to explain the word of God. Those who are standing here to proclaim the word of God, they have to explain God's word in such a manner that people can understand. Please read in any other language you have. Verse 8. Nehemiah 8:8. Tatparyam. Yes. Trying to give understanding to the reading of God's word. Do you understand? Are you following me? Are you attentive to the listening of God's word right now? Or are you thinking, what next? What am I going to do after the service is over? What am I going to speak to that person whom I'm supposed to speak now? What is bothering us right now? Let us be attentive to God's word. Let us not get distracted. Let us understand. Let us be able to see here as to whether it makes sense or not. God's word, does it make sense? If I take a scriptural portion, that God is a God who is my friend, and as I read the verse, there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Not only do we read it, but we explain that Jesus Christ has come into this world and gave his life for us. And that is how you should understand the reading of God's word. Verse 9, now comes Nehemiah. The first 8 verses talks about Ezra. The same Ezra that is mentioned in the book of Ezra as well. Now in verse 9, Nehemiah comes. Appropriate to his name, talking about comfort. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe together. Now he's mentioned that Ezra is not only the priest, but also the scribe. And the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, the psalmist says. This day is the day that is holy to the Lord your God. You need to make sure that the day that God has given you, every day for that matter, should be a day that is holy to the Lord your God. You just can't say that, oh, Monday to Saturday is my day, only Sunday is holy day. No! Every day is holy unto the Lord. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. You see the way in which they were responding to this? Note it down in the sermon notes. If you don't have, you can ask for it. Repent. They were repenting. While they were repenting, they were weeping as well. They were weeping. Nehemiah chapter 8, if you are want to open your Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 8 talks about this, that this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. As on when you read God's word, it should convict us. It should convict us of the sinful nature that we live in, the sinful nature that we are born in. And there is no way in which we can come out of our sinful nature other than God, who can clear us from all our sinful nature. And as we keep sharing of it, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As we keep reading all this or mentioning all these scriptures, the Spirit of the Lord should convict us. Lord, I have been doing many things that are not right in your sight. Oh, the way in which I have behaved with my spouse. Oh, the way in which I have behaved with my children. Oh, how I've been treating people in my workplace. How I have been considering my neighbors. And many kind of situations, as the Lord reminds us through his Spirit that what we are doing, this is not right. Doing this is right. We need to repent of the things that God is telling us to correct ourselves. And that comes associated with weeping. In other words, really, Lord, why did it happen to me? Do not mourn or weep. Now that you are repenting, now make sure that you realize that as you keep weeping and repenting, there is something that is mentioned in verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Please read. So the next bubble is rejoice and wow, the wow factor. Wow factor means, wow, what a wonderful God I have. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you keep rejoicing so much, whether you use the word wow or not, you have that experience of wow. Wow, what a wonderful God I have. What a wonderful word that he has given me to be able to look at it. So as you keep looking down and noting it down, you rejoice in the Lord. Do not weep or mourn anymore. The moment you repent, that repentance will result in you to rejoice. You repent to be able to experience the rejoicing or refreshing in the sight of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 3. And verse 18. The next verse, 3:19. Repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, you will experience the times of rejoicing or refreshments. And for that, to experience the rejoicing, you need to repent. You need to repent, and that is what, back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Notice this carefully. That it says that they were rejoicing, and the only way in which you can rejoice is not on the things of this world. It says in verse 10, you can note down on the bottom of this, in the middle of the page. You can note down the verse, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can write down the fill in the blanks there. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There are many songs which talk about the joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. There are some Sunday school songs also that relate to it. The joy of the Lord. Maybe you're grieving right now because of certain things that might have happened in your life. Maybe you're mourning about what has happened. Maybe a job situation. Maybe a lost loved one. Or maybe some marital issue. or immigration issue. I don't know what specific things that you may be going through right now. Family problems or financial problems or immigration problems. Whatever be it. The Bible says, not my words. Repeatedly it says about the day. Every day. Verse 9 it says, this day is holy to the Lord. Verse 10 says, this day is holy to the Lord. And in verse 11, this day is holy. Talking about holiness. What does holiness mean? To be able to set apart. To be able to consider this day for the Lord. Lord, I want to set aside this day from the beginning of the day till the end. I want to focus my attention upon you and you. I want to rejoice in you. That is why the psalmist says in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's easy to put on wedding cards. That's not the only place. That's not the only day. But every day should be the day of rejoicing. It is not only on the days of thanksgivings and birthdays that you can say this is the day that the Lord has made. How about today? Can you consider this day that the Lord has made? It is holy unto the Lord. I want to make myself holy. I want to repent of the sins that I have committed in such a manner that I will rejoice in the presence of the Lord and say, wow, what a wonderful God I serve. Verse 11, so the Levites calmed all the people, quieted all the people. Please read in any other language. Verse 11, 8, 11. Yeah, I think 12 also was read. How about any other language? 8, 11. దుఃఖము మానుడి మీరు దుఃఖ పడకూడదంతే. ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ ఓకే డోంట్ గ్రీవ్, యూ షుడ్ నాట్. హౌ కెన్ ఐ స్టాప్ ఫ్రమ్ బీయింగ్ వరీడ్. లెట్స్ రీడ్ దట్ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వర్డ్స్ ఇన్ హిందీ యాజ్ ఐ హ్యావ్ ఇట్ హియర్. లెట్స్ ఆల్ రీడ్ దిస్ టుగెదర్. యో లేవియో నే సబ్ లోగో కో యహ కహకర్ చుప్ కరా దియా కి చుప్ రహో క్యూంకి ఆజ్ కా దిన్ పవిత్ర హై. Or udas mat raho. Wonderful word of God. He's telling us, the word of God is telling that we should not grieve. Do not be grieved. You know the do's and don'ts? You might say, oh, what is there? How can I not grieve with the situation that I'm going through? But not to the extent of forgetting about the God who is in control of our lives. The song which says, what a friend we have in Jesus, especially on this Friendship Day. A lot of people may be thinking about their own friends, but never forget what a friend we have in Jesus. Because greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ has called us friends, no longer slaves, but I call you friends, he said. And on this day, the song, it says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Grief is dukkham, or some kind of a feeling of unable to face the situation that has been going on in our lives. Maybe this word is a promise or a commandment for you, for that matter. Forget about whether it is anything else other than take it as a commandment. Do not be grieved. It's a do not sentence. And may the Lord enable us to be able to recognize it. In verse 11, he says, he calmed all the people. Why? They were weeping. Imagine a situation where somebody has repented of what they have committed and they are weeping. Somebody had to calm them down and say, please, quiet down, please. Do not grieve. Be still. That is where the small term that is mentioned, be still, means calm down. Don't grieve, my dear. Maybe there are many situations that have happened in your life. Maybe the things that are not in your control, or maybe that were under your control, but you were not under control. Now as you repent, as you weep in the presence of God, maybe externally or internally, the word of God says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord, not anything else other than God and His presence. The psalmist says, in your presence is fullness of joy. That is the joy that He wants to give each one of us. That your joy may be full. In the book of John, Jesus Christ says, ask in accordance to my will, in my name, so that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. And that joy will come only because of Lord God. You cannot get the joy in any situations. I've been reminding the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is because of happenings. This happened, that's why I'm happy. This has not happened, that's why I'm not happy. But joy comes because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with happenings. You can still be joyful in the circumstance you might be going through. You may be going through tough situations in your life, but you can still be joyful. But the joy comes only because of the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Maybe you're weak. There's so many situations that you're not able to bear in your life. Uncertainties. You're so weak. But take it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Not a medicine, but joy of the Lord. Maybe that is what is missing in your life, that you're not able to get the strength from the Lord. May the Lord enable each one of us to experience that joy of the Lord. Being rejoicing in the Lord. Lord, no matter what my situations that I'm going through, I will never forget that you are my God. Lord, even if I have come here with weeping, I will leave this place with rejoicing, because it is not that something has happened or not has happened, but I know that God is in control of my happenings. God will take care of my situation. That is why I'm joyful. Can you say that, my dear? Can you say that? It is very important for us to let go of the things that are controlling us, to let go from our hands. Be still means let go as well. To let go of the things and say, Lord, I want to rejoice in you. You handle the situation. So far, I've been holding on to the situations of this world. Lord, many things that have brought so much of disaster in my life, Lord, I want to let go of it into your hands. You take control of my life. Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary, to bear our burdens, to take our grief, all our sins and griefs to bear. He's ready to bear. But many times we don't want to share that. We don't want to give it to the Lord. We come to the church, but we go back with the same griefs, carrying the same baggage back into this world. But what did the people do? Let us all read verse 12. Last verse for today. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 12. All together, please. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which they had been made known to them. Again, do you notice all the people? Wow. I just want to keep on meditating on God's word. If this is how God's word is, I will keep on spending all day as well meditating on God's word. Just like those people, from early morning till midday, I don't know, maybe in the street they were standing and listening to God's word. And all the people, right from chapter 8, verse 1, all the people. And continuously when they were reading God's word, they were attentive. All the people were attentive. And now, all the people were weeping as well in verse 9 and verse 12. All the people returned. So the last bubble, you can note it down. Return and work. Work? What is work here? You see verse 10? What did they say? Go. Eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. So there are people who don't have the food. You do the work of God as well. You just don't stay in the house of God. Worship, word is good. But without work, it is not complete. What were they doing? What they were told to do? Go. Now that you have been so much absorbed, you have absorbed the word of God, you have worshipped, you have wept, you now, rejoicingly, you go out and work in the vineyard that God has given. Give to those who do not have. Share the word of God with them. Share the items if they don't have prepared their food. Give them the physical food as well. Do the work of God.
Don't just come and listen and just leave the place. But here it says, they returned to do the work. What did they say? 12. They went away to eat, to drink, and to send portions, meaning to give it to those people who don't have. Physically, you may have physical food. You're eating the food. You remember those people who don't have their daily bread. Spiritually, maybe you have come to a place where you are really richly fed by God's word. Not many places you might hear the word of God that is richly fed. They leave the place still hungry. So when you are fed with the word of God, you go and feed others with the word of God. Tell them, see, this is what I have heard. Won't you? Don't you want to have the joy of the Lord? Today I have heard in the church that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Many times I was thinking that if I have some supplements or vitamins or something, that is when I'll get the strength. But you cannot get the strength other than the joy of the Lord that will lead you to move forward. And what did they do? They went and celebrated. There was great rejoicing, it says in some of the translations in verse 12. And they were returned with great rejoicing. Why? Because the food is ready. Why were they rejoicing? Can you answer verse 12? Why were they rejoicing? They were rejoicing because they understood the words which had been made known to them. The rejoicing is because I understood God's word today. I understood that joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to be able to have the strength. There are many situations I cannot handle personally. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul the Apostle said. So maybe you are going through some weakness in your life. Maybe some temptations in your life that you're not able to come out of. Overcome those temptations in your life. Ask the Lord. Lord, I want to rejoice in you and your word. Next time, when you have your quiet time, rejoice reading God's word. Understand God's word. If you don't understand, take a study Bible and try to see what the understanding of it is. And be able to rejoice in Him. And be involved in the work of God. To share God's word and to share the physical food also if they don't have. To try to help people who are in need as well. And that is how you will be an overall Christian. Not just Sunday Christian who comes and goes and does nothing outside. But you should be so equipped that you leave this place rejoicing. Forgetting about all the things that made you weep. But to be able to focus upon God and His word. May the Lord bless this word.